Hallelujah. Well, this morning we have a message from Pastor Lori. Come on up, Pastor Lori.
Well, I'm excited about the message this morning, and I hope you will find it timely. How's everybody? All right. This is interesting, the way that the message is, because Pastor, he's the one that had the idea and the direction for it, and then he called me one morning and asked me if I would like to share, and I'm like, yeah, that's great. I mean, you kind of did all the hard work, you know, you kind of came up with the concept, but I really realize now that we're about to enter a season of the holidays that this is very timely, you know, and it's really ministered to me, so I hope it ministers to you. But Thanksgiving is a weapon of our warfare. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word this morning. I thank you that we have ears to hear, that we have a heart to understand your great love for us, and that nobody's disqualified from your love, Lord. It doesn't matter how far we've gone. All have sinned and fallen short of your glory, Father God, and that nothing can separate us from your love. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to start out here. Thanksgiving is a weapon of our warfare. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving as a weapon. Thankfulness is a weapon. And if you've been through something, you kind of know what I'm talking about. And I need to debunk something, because I think a lot of times when we think of thankfulness and Thanksgiving, we think of manners. Like, we think of, it almost kind of loses its power, because we think of it as a being polite. You know, we start off very young in life where your parents are like, somebody gives you something, they're like, now what do you say? You're like, thank you, you know. Or it's like, you need to be thankful for those Brussels sprouts, because there's kids in Africa that don't have Brussels sprouts, you know. So, like, there's a sense of, like, guilt and condemnation, like, I have to be thankful. But that's not what it really is. Thankfulness and thanksgiving, according to the word of God, actually is knowing who God is and declaring who he is and declaring what he has done. That God is good and his mercies endure forever. It's a position that you hold of thanksgiving. It's a position that you hold of thanksgiving, that God is good and that his mercy endures forever. And so that is what true thanksgiving is. And that's the weapon that you can use in your warfare, okay? So that's what we're going to break down for you today. How exactly does that work? How exactly do I do this? And so I want to read out of Psalms 100. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. For the Lord is good. Say he's good. And his mercy, say mercy, is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. So that is the true meaning of thanksgiving. So we enter his courts with praise. We enter his courts. It's how you enter a place. It's how you enter something. And so this is the way we enter gates. We enter his gates with thanksgiving, knowing that he is good and that his mercy endures forever. And so I had some friends, and they shared the story with me about their boss. And the one gal was positioned kind of close to the door. And so there was like a corridor, and she could kind of signal all of her coworkers as to what kind of mood her boss was in when they came in the door. And so she gave them a thumbs up. It's like, okay, it's going to be a good day today. You know, they could tell by the way she entered, you know. It's going to be all right. Thumbs up. You can approach her. If they got a thumbs down, they stay far, far, far away. Do not email, do not call, do not come near this desk, okay? Amen. Stay far, far away. And so it's how you enter something. So I want to address something. We're about to enter the holiday season. And with holidays comes great memories, wonderful, wonderful memories. It also comes with loss. Because for me personally, I can relate to this. I'm sure many of you can. I have wonderful memories of Christmas as a child. I had a very good family growing up, and I had wonderful Christmases. I know some of you in here could tell horrible stories of alcoholism and of loss at Christmas time when you were a child. And I'm terribly sorry for that, and I know that's a heartache to God. But I also know, like, Thanksgiving for me personally, several years ago, we had 25 people around our table, and we played games, and it was full of joy and pictures, and we had so much tradition. But we lost several people over the last few years, and so we all have gone our separate ways. And I could focus on that and have deep sorrow in my heart. but I celebrate who's at my table. So I went from 25 to 3, but that's okay because God is good. His mercy endures forever. They are all with Jesus anyhow, right? They've made their journey. They are rejoicing, and they are in a whole other place, at a whole other level. This is not all there is, people. This is not all there is. God has a good plan for us here and there. So I want to acknowledge that we're going to enter this holiday season knowing that God is good. We're going to enter this holiday season wielding the sword of thanksgiving. Amen. We're going to know it as a weapon. The first thing we need to know, the bottom line is, we want to enter the holiday season with a new perspective. The season he wants you to enter it, wielding the weapon of thanksgiving and praise. Pastor Terry, you're going to wield the weapon of thanksgiving and praise. Amen. Today I pray that you'll leave here with a revelation that God is good and that he has placed within us a secret weapon. And when you understand how to use the secret weapon, when you understand how to use this weapon of war, it will give you victories that you never thought imaginable. It's a weapon of thanksgiving. It's a weapon of spiritual mass destruction. The first thing you need to know is you need to know whose battle it is. And I want to talk about Jehoshaphat, and it's a really long story, so I'm going to kind of cliff note it here for a second. Hold on. So Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles, he's a really good king. Here's why he's good. Because he loves God and he stays true to God's word. And he tears down idols. And then he brings the book of the law for all of his people. And he brings it to them so they'll tear down idols in their own lives. Those are keys. God looks at those in a leader. He looks at those in his people. Are you willing to believe God and to believe his word and to tear down those things that are idols in our life? It may not be a little statue, or it may be, I don't know what you worship. There's a lot of things we worship. Sometimes we worship public opinion. Sometimes I don't say things, I don't care about what people think. You know, sometimes I worship the past and all the loss and all the pain and, oh, I want to cradle it and rock it to sleep. Today's a new day, please. It's a new season. So Jehoshaphat gets some news. And he gets some news that there's enemies, three troops that are invading his territory, coming into his boundaries. And he's terrified. It actually says that he's afraid. They've already crossed in. That's why. It's not like, hey, they're coming in a couple days. Like, no, they have broken through your territory. And it says a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea. And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast. When you know that you're in a battle, you got to proclaim something. He proclaimed a fast, and he drew near to God. You're either going to do two things when the pressure's on. You're going to run from God, or you're going to run to God. Okay, I want to read real quick out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Okay, get out your little mixing bowl. This is a recipe for success here, okay? We all have our Thanksgiving recipes. Here's a spiritual Thanksgiving recipe. And if you make this every day or you every time you're tempted to be anxious, get your mixing bowl out and put a little bit of prayer. Then get some supplication. That's a big thing because supplication means that you're taking your burden, the burden of your heart, and you're giving it to the Lord. That's what supplication is. It's like a petition, but it's more than that. You're physically giving your burden to the Lord. But then don't forget this, one spice, big spice. Don't forget this. It's called thanksgiving, and you want to put a little thanksgiving in there, and then you want to mix it up. And this is what you get. This is the reward and the peace of God. Let your requests be made known to God. If you have something you're anxious about, talk to God. Give it to him. And it says that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, you want to blow your mind. The peace of God that doesn't make any sense will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. There's two battlefields, your mind and your heart. Guarding your heart and your mind. When you give God, when you give him what you're anxious about, he will guard his peace, guards your heart and your mind. Because what happens is you see something, you hear something, a thought comes in your head. It gets into your mind. It works its way down into your emotions, into your heart, and eventually, boom, comes out your mouth. It says that out of our mouth, our heart speaks. That's why we need to be thankful. That's why we need to give everything to God. Everything. Know your battle. So Jehoshaphat comes before the Lord. I love this one part. It says, he gathers everybody together. And this is so awesome right here. Now, all of Judah, and I like this, he says, with the little ones and their wives. He didn't look at, he didn't just bring the men. He brought everyone. We all need to come before the Lord and stand before him and get his direction. Okay? Men, women, families, come before the Lord and get his direction. The battle is the Lord's. And the Spirit of the Lord came as they stood before him and spoke through a man, Jehazel. And he said, listen to all of you, Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, because this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. You will not need to fight in this battle. Listen to this. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. If you knew tomorrow at noon the very thing that you're contending for, the answer would arrive. What would you be doing right now? If you knew December 12th at 2 p.m., the very thing that you've been contending for in your marriage, in your finances, in your children, in your workplace, in your health, in your body, what would you be saying right now? Exactly. You would be praising him. So he does something totally crazy and wild and awesome. Because when you know whose battle it is, you can do the unimaginable. And he sends out, this is what he says. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed those. A good leader knows who to appoint. A good leader just doesn't grab any old person. You might get mad at me, you might get offended by this. But a good leader looks at fruit in people's lives. We don't like that. I wasn't even thinking about saying this. So I don't know who this is for. We don't like to be scrutinized. I don't know who that's for, but I'm going to tell you right now that a good leader will look and look at your fruit. They don't just call anybody when it's coming to the battle for victory. And so he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. And then they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord for his what? Mercy endures forever. You're going to see a theme. It's all about his goodness and all about his mercy. God is good and he's merciful and it endures forever. Forever is a really long time. Amen. Amen. So that's like, can you imagine? We're going into Afghanistan. We send Pastor Roger in the praise band. Get over there. The troops will be in there later. I mean, they didn't even say that they took instruments. I mean, at least they could hit somebody over the head with a guitar or a ukulele or something, you know? They don't even think they had instruments. They went in singing, declaring, singing praise to the Lord that his mercy endures forever. And this is what happened. The inhabitants of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. Basically, what happens was when they go in, they begin to ambush one another and the enemy annihilates one another. And when they come up over the hill, all they see is dead bodies. All they did was sing a song. All they did was sing a song. All they did was stand in the fact that it wasn't their battle, that it was the Lord's battle, and they went out singing and praising. And when they did, it brings confusion to the enemy. That's the weapon. Do you understand me? When all hell comes against you, if you want to win the battle, you stand and position yourself. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. And you will bring utter confusion to the enemy. He'll lose his mind, and he'll annihilate his own self. Hallelujah. Which brings me to one more point. It gets better. After that, it says, when Jehoshaphat and his people came, they had to go in and they took the spoil. They just happened to find, it's a divine coincidence apparently, they just happened to find an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewels. Can't just leave them there, right? What a waste. Might as well take them home. They stripped off them for themselves more than they could carry away. And there were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. 3 days. Makes me think of Jesus. What was he gathering in 3 days? That he wasted hell in the grave and he brought back to us the spoils of the enemy and the treasure of everlasting life. Amen. Because God is good and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time for payback, people. It's time for payback and divine shakeups. And there's been injustices that have been done to us. And listen, I'm not talking about people, although things have happened to me by people. But it's beyond that. People hurting people hurt people. That's how it works. That's how it works. You can't be bitter and condemn the people. It's not them. We don't battle against flesh and blood. Okay? There's a spiritual dimension to this world. And people that are hurting, they hurt other people. A lot of people that beat their wives were beaten as children. I don't agree with it. It breaks my heart and it breaks God's heart. But hurting people hurt people. It leads people into addictions. It leads people into making just crazy decisions. But listen, we're in for a divine payback. Okay, there's been injustices done in many of our lives. And God's going to do a divine payback, a divine shakeup and a payback. And I want to read out of Acts. I want to read what happened with Paul and Silas. So we find Paul and Silas. It's a very interesting story. And so it happened that as they went to prayer, that a certain slave girl who was possessed with the spirit of divination met them. She had some kind of fortune-telling type of spirit on her. And the girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." So she spoke truth, but not with the right spirit. Something creepy about it, you know? I don't know. Be like, "Pastor Roger, pastor of City Church, gathering people to find the Lord." Just something creepy about that, you know? Like, what? Yeah, okay. And this she did for many days. I mean, so she followed him around over and over and over again, okay? And it greatly annoyed Paul. You gotta love Paul. It greatly annoyed Paul, and he turned and he said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her." And of course, it came out in that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit, because they were getting some money off this little gal, was gone, they seized Paul and Silas. They dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans." And then the multitude rose up against them. They tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, and commanding their jailer to keep them securely. Having received this charge, he not only put them in prison, he put them in inner prison. And then he fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison doors were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loose. But around midnight, there's something about that to me. And anybody that's ever been through something knows exactly what that means. But around midnight. They weren't in just regular prison. They were in inner prison. So like, "I'm going to put you in prison, and I'm going to put you in even more prison." I don't know what's worse than prison. That's what they were in, prison. It's like double bondage. But wait, that's not, gets better. Now I'm going to shackle you. So now they're like in triple bondage. And I'm thinking, I don't know if you've been in triple bondage, but you're stuck. You're not in a good place. That's not a happy place. That's not a good place to be in. And I'm thinking, you know, there's temptations when you're in that kind of bondage. There's temptations when you're in that kind of pain. You're at the midnight hour. There's temptations when you're at the midnight hour and it's dark and you're lonely and you're hurting and your body hurts and you feel trapped. Some of you feel trapped in your own bodies because of health issues. In the midnight hour. It says that they sang praise to God. Now, I'm thinking there had to be some temptations there. Here's the temptation. The temptation is to resent. The temptation is to become bitter in the midnight hour. The temptation is to become complaining. Come on, Paul, you couldn't have just ignored her for one more day? Come on. Why did you have to cast that thing out? Couldn't you just ignore it? I mean, here we are, God, serving you faithfully, giving our own money, our own time, our own sweat and blood, and this is what you let happen to us? Come on. Ooh, that's dangerous territory. That's dangerous. Can't say I haven't been tempted to say things like that. It's dangerous. But they didn't. I don't know whose playlist they used. I don't know what song they decided to sing. It probably went something like this: you are good and your mercy endures forever. And so injustices were done to them. And a divine shakeup happened. So much so that the jailer was set free. He came to them. They said he was going to take his life. Don't take your life. They saved the jailer. They saved the guy that put them in inner prison and shackled them. His whole household gets saved. His whole place gets saved. But here's the thing I saw. I never saw this before. Here's the thing I saw, and I grabbed hold of it. I'm never letting go. Here's the thing I saw. Later on, after they're all, you know, free and everything, then it says that they came in kind of quietly, secretively, and they said, they find out, the magistrates find out, you know, Paul's a Roman. We could get in big trouble for this. We were like beating on a Roman citizen. This is not good. So they said, hey, just go tell him that he can just go. He's free. It's all good. And Paul said, no. No, indeed, you publicly shamed me. You publicly beat us. You publicly imprisoned us. See, the enemy wanted to give him some hush money. Listen, don't be tempted to allow payback to come to you in secret. When God pays you back for the injustices, it will be public. It will go viral. I've been tempted to take the devil's hush money and to accept some kind of payback quietly. No, when God pays me back for the injustices done to me, everyone will see it. Everyone will know. We're in for a divine shakeup. That's how payback comes. That's how payback comes. That's how you'll know that it's the Lord. If it comes secretively here, hey, just, it's all good. Go about your business. Here's your blessing. No. No. If your losses were known, he will pay you back. The enemy, you will get the spoils. It might take you 3 days to bring it all in, but you will be paid back for the injustices. Get ready for a divine shakeup. And don't take the devil's hush money. Don't settle for less than God's highest good for your life. Amen. I always sense that. I always sense that. I always sense that. No, no, no. It's not going to be hush hush. It's going to be out there. It's going to be out there. That's how you'll know, Laurie. And I thought, oh, I don't know about that. Till I saw that. Pastor should never ask me, because something happened when I saw that. Something happened that my faith was allowed. What I kind of thought was, when I saw the word to it, I was like, that's right. That's right. You demand that the enemy restore that. I'm not trying to be presumptuous here. Okay, I'm doing it under the Lord, because he is good and his mercy endures forever. Divine payback. Divine payback. Divine shakeup. It was around midnight. There's something about that midnight hour and the reference of it. And the fact that there were prisoners that were listening to him. They were listening to them. There's people that see your midnight hour. There's people that see where you're at. They see that you're in triple bondage. They see that you're trying to get out of addiction. They see that you're homeless. They see that your marriage isn't great. They see that you're single for a really long time. They see that your finances are going down. They see that you need a job. They see those things. They're listening. Fellow prisoners, fellow humanity is listening. They're watching you. They're seeing what you're saying. Are you complaining about every single person that ever hurt you? Are you focused on bitterness? Are you focused on resentment? Are you focused on complaining? Or are you focusing on the one who is a true God, who will never leave you nor forsake you, who has written you on the palms of his hands? They're listening to you. And when they see you praising God, it breaks chains off of them. That's exactly what happened. Okay, are your children listening to you? Are your coworkers listening to you? Who's listening to you? Your children are key. Your children are key. They're watching you. Everything you do. I don't care if your kids are 50 years old. Okay, they're young. Just don't think I'm talking about little kids. I'm talking about children. Period. Your generations. Your coworkers. Your spouse. My goodness, your spouse is listening to you. Sometimes I'm kind of glad that I'm single, because I don't want people to hear what I'm saying sometimes. You know, that's just like one more person I got to be accountable to. That's just me and Jesus. Whew. So Paul refused to allow his enemy to do secret payback. He said, no, if you're going to beat us, shame us, place us in triple bondage in public for all to see, no, you will make this public. This restoration's going viral. This word is for some of us. I claim it for myself. Payback's coming. Get ready for a divine shakeup. The power of thanksgiving will lead you to be the last man standing. And you're in a boxing match, you're watch wrestling or whatever. How do you know who the winner is? How do you know? It's the one they picked their arm up, the last man standing. I'm going to talk about my friend Job. And some of you have heard me talk about him before, but I can't talk about thanksgiving. I can't talk about trials. I can't talk about loss. I can't talk about restoration without talking about Job. And my friend Emmy reminded me it wasn't very long ago. I was questioning God's goodness. Sometimes that'll happen. That's why we need to be speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Come on. If you see people that you love, people that you're walking with in life, you have to encourage one another. Make it a point with your words to remind them of the promises of God. And it was right over here, I think, and I don't even remember what it was about. But she came up to me, we were praying, and she said, Sissy, God is not going to ask you to walk through a Job-like trial and not give you a Job-like reward. That's all I needed. That's all I needed. I'm like, thank you for the remembrance. We will remember. Thank you. Because there was a time in my life where I remember that my marriage was ending. And I had been married for like 10, 11 years. And I was very angry with God because things didn't go the way I thought they were supposed to go. And there were some things that he had said that sounded like God wasn't good and that he was crying out to God, but God wasn't healing. And that didn't make any sense. And so I got in my car and I was driving down the road and I was having a conversation with God. And I was very upset. And I started questioning God's goodness. And it went on for a little while. And then finally, I said something like this. And I hate to even speak it out. In fact, I'm not going to. If I don't, you'll imagine something worse, so I better. I said, you don't heal your people anymore. That's what God did too. He went, ooh. It's exactly his reaction. And the Holy Spirit went, shh, no, don't. Don't go there. Careful. That's what the Holy Spirit said. Careful. Almost audibly. I mean, it was quick. This is how loving kindness our God is. This is the Jesus you serve. My goodness. He stopped me in my rant and said, don't say that. You're becoming embittered. And he showed me Job's wife, and I didn't know anything about Job's wife. And I have this funny picture of her, and many of you have heard me say this, where she had rollers in her hair, and she was in the kitchen smoking a cigarette, and she yells to Job in the other room, like, curse God and die, you know. I had this weird image of her, and I didn't even know the story very well. And the Lord said, I said, what do I do? He said, careful, you're becoming embittered. Careful. I said, what do I do? He said, do what Job did. I didn't even know what Job did. So I go back to my house and I run upstairs and I open my Bible and I find out that Job had a horrible, awful, traumatic day. And in this day, he had loss upon loss upon loss upon loss upon loss. And it just one messenger after the other. One messenger said, your oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding and we were raided and they killed everyone. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another one came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up all the sheep and the servants, consumed them all. And I alone have escaped to tell you. When he was still speaking, another one said, three bands came and raided the camels and took them away. Yes, and killed all the servants by the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another one came. Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking and your elder brothers in their elder brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell dead. The young people fell dead. And I have escaped to tell you. What would you do? Your bank account's drained, solid drained, nothing's left. Your job, you're out. Your house is just burned down. Your car's wrecked. You have nothing. And by the way, all of your children are gone. It says that Job fell to the ground and worshiped. It says he tore his robes, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshiped. Blessed be the name of the Lord, he said. And in all these things, Job did not charge God with wrong. That's it. That's it. And when God showed me that, I remember It was a weapon. I never saw it as a weapon before. And I stood before God not having an answer there. And when you think about the chance that or Job's wife was embittered, you know, she lost those same things that Job lost. But she chose bitterness. Because when she saw her husband, he was scraping his boils and he was had his physical body had been touched now. And it was just a horrible trial. And she had a breaking point. We all have a breaking point. We all have our midnight hour. And I had another midnight hour. And I'd be in the hospital at Ruby Memorial on the pediatric floor. And to the left of me, I'm going to close with this. To the left of me, there was a little boy of 8 who was diagnosed with a terminal cancer in his brain, would be my son. And I remember I went through a hellacious night, and I remember standing at the foot of his bed, and you know, I almost didn't share this story because it's my personal story, and I'm like, no, this is my story. This is my weapon. This was my trial. Share your story, people. Don't let the enemy try to give you, shh, keep it quiet. No, don't keep it quiet, because the power is in the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And so I'm standing at the edge of his bed, and I have no answers. This little boy who I carried for 9 months, who was the love of my life, he and his sister, my love of my life, two happiest days of my life, or the day that my son was born and the day that my daughter was born. Two of the happiest days of my life, still to this day, are the happiest days of my life. He came out with all this dark hair. He looked like a baby Elvis. You know, we didn't have like Facebook or Instagram, but I probably would have like, thank you very much. We would do that with him all the time because he looked like a baby Elvis. He had like a part and everything. It was awesome. This beautiful child of mine had gone from a family of 4 within a year. I went from a family of 3. Within another year, I went to a family of 2. None of that makes sense. I'm standing at the edge of his bed and I have no answers. I have no answers of why your son's in prison. I have no answers of why you live on the streets. I have no answers of why you have been addicted. I have no answers of why trials happen, why good things happen to bad, why bad things happen to good people. I have no answers for any of that. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. I have one answer. Thanks be to God because he is good and his mercy endures forever. But here's the cool thing. I did not realize the weapon that I was wielding. I did not realize the weapon that I was wielding. And the Lord taught me that through that divorce time in the car about do what Job did. And so when I was at the edge of the bed, I could feel this pressure. And he was finally asleep and I was all by myself. And I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden I remembered, I know what to do. Because there was a pressure that was coming on me. And something happened, and I just went, I have no answers for this, God, but I just thank you. And it was almost like I just backhanded the enemy, and he just went flying away. And from that point, it was never the same. So I don't know what you need to thank God for, but you have to position yourself in these types of battles. The battle is the Lord. You position yourself. You give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. We don't have the answers for all things. As you come into this Christmas season, as you come into the Thanksgiving season, true Thanksgiving is being thankful to God that no matter what the enemy has stolen from you, no matter what losses you have suffered, no matter what hope has been stolen, no matter what God will pay you back. You're in for a divine shakeup. You will not go through a Job-like trial without God giving you a Job-like reward. You will not suffer without God giving you life. You will not walk through the shadow of death without God bringing you out. He will not ask you to go through the fire. You will come out and you won't even smell like smoke. God, I pray for every single person right now. Father God, we thank you that it's your battle. I want to encourage you, if there's something in your physical body that you're struggling with, I want you to come for prayer this morning. And you might say, you know, I've done that 1,000 times. I don't care. Do it again. I really don't care. Do it again. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming and thanking him. If you're married, you're like, I'm sick of praying for my marriage. Come. If you don't have a home and you're living at the mission, give God thanks because he can do a work in your life. And you're like, oh, no, you don't even understand my past. I don't understand your past, but I understand. We're all human here. I understand loss. Everybody understands loss. I don't know what it is to be addicted, but I could have been. I had that type of personality. You can ask my close friends. They'd be like, yeah, you could have been. You could have been easily. So we don't judge here, we love here. This altar is open for you to come and receive the love of God, that he's into divine payback, okay? Don't miss an opportunity.
Let's all stand together. Just lift your head up and just say those words, for the Lord is good, and his mercies endure forever. Let's say it again. The Lord is good, and his mercies endure forever. A little louder. The Lord is good, and his mercies endure forever. That's my God. That's my God. That's my God. Hallelujah. The Lord has already taken the sword of the word and begin to liberate today.